All right, thank you. You can be seated. Let's take our Bibles and go to the book of Psalm, chapter 119. The book of Psalm and chapter 119 in your Bibles. Good to be here today, man. And just looking forward to a good day today, man. I love the old-fashioned ways. Amen. There's a lot about the old-fashioned life I like, and there's a lot about it I don't like. Amen. How many of you hitched up a horse and a team for church this morning? Anybody hitched up a horse and team to come? And you got a mule? Amen. Is that a Ford? Did you drive a Ford and that was a mule? Is that how that worked? No.
My mule worked fine.
We get here one way or another. Amen. And the Lord's good, and I tell you, I came down this morning, and I had this tie, you know, the old preachers used to wear those, and I had my computer in my hand. Somebody said, the two don't go together very good, amen? And I don't know, today's a blend between the mix and the old, but I like the old-fashioned ways and some of the newfangled conveniences. Yeah. I'll put it that way, amen, and thank the Lord for it. Well, we are in Psalm 119, and we're skipping ahead a little bit. We're going to verse 129. Verse number 129 is where we're going to look today, and I just wonder, at the top of the heading, you have the Hebrew letter Pei at the beginning. How many of you see that? All right, you have the letter Pei. Does anybody know, or did anybody look up what that means? Anybody look it up? All right, well, you wouldn't have. We skipped ahead a little bit, so you wouldn't have gotten that far. But it is talking about an open mouth, and it's referring to speaking. To speaking. And so that's what these eight verses cover, the thought and the subject of speaking. So let's begin verse number 129, and we'll read this morning. The Bible says, "Thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore doth my soul keep them. The entrance of thy words giveth light and giveth understanding unto the simple. I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for thy commandments. Look thou upon me and be merciful unto me, as thou usest to do unto those that love thy name. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Deliver me from the oppression of man, so will I keep thy precepts. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant, and teach me thy statutes. Rivers of water run down mine eyes, because they keep not thy law." Well, let's pray this morning. Lord, thank you. We can be in church today, and God, we ask your blessings as we open the Bible today. Lord, we need your spirit, we need your power and your blessings today, and we pray that, Lord, you would just use the word in each life. Lord, we all need something today from thy word, and I just pray, Lord, that we'd have our hearts and ears to hear what you have for each one of us. Thank you for the Bible. Thank you for what we're about to hear. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Well, this passage of Scripture, these particular eight verses, as I mentioned before, have to do with opening our mouths and speaking. The main theme of these verses is the mouth. And you remember how each passage we looked at before had different themes, like the nail. One had the nail, and just different ones had different themes in those verses according to that letter. Well, here we find it's talking about the mouth, and particularly opening the mouth to speak. And so it's understood that these eight verses were spoken, and that these eight verses are to be put to words. Now, I think it's interesting because the Psalms was meant to be what? Sung. So all of these Psalms are meant to be sung, but these particular eight verses are also meant to be spoken and to be declared. The idea is to boldly open the mouth and proclaim them. You know, we need to proclaim God's word more and more in our generation. We need to speak more and just say more about God. And sometimes as Christians, we are quiet when it comes to our testimony and our life. And God wants us to speak up for him. God wants us to open our mouths and let the world know that we're a Christian and speak out for him. And so let's look at the theme here. Well, we have a powerful effect of God's word is seen in Psalm 119. The word of God is mentioned in at least 171 of the 176 verses. Now, surprisingly, one of the verses that we looked at today does not refer specifically to the word, but it does refer to the Lord Jesus. Now, in the New Testament especially, the word and Jesus are the same thing. The only difference is the word became flesh and dwelt among us. Now, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. We know John said in John 1 and verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The word in there is capitalized in John 1 and verse 1. And of course, it's referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Word. So only that one verse that talks about Jesus is really talking about the Word. Amen? Now, I'll just make a point right here. You've probably heard Christians or people out there in the world saying, well, I believe in Jesus, but I don't necessarily believe in the Bible. Can I tell you what? If you make that statement, either you don't believe in Jesus or you don't believe in the Word, one of the two. Because the two are one. You cannot separate Jesus from the Word. And you know, if somebody says, well, I'm saved today, Jesus saved me. Well, the only way to get saved is by the Word. Because if you go against the Word, then you're going against Jesus himself. You know, a lot of people... They say they love Jesus, but it may not exactly be Jesus that they love if they don't love the Word. Amen. You say, that's being judging. No, I'm just telling you exactly what Scripture teaches. And Scripture's teaching that Jesus and the Word are one. He was the Word made flesh. And so, just to make a point about that, I'm a preacher, I make lots of points, so... Amen. All right. Now, Spurgeon said that each one of these verses were not like a link to each other, but like a string of pearls, where each verse shows its own rare beauty. And I think that's a good way to look at Psalm 119. Seven words are used to describe, in Psalm 119, to describe the word, the law, the word, the judgments, testimonies, statutes, precepts, and word. Now, each one has a little bit different way of looking at the word, but each one is still talking about God's word, and it was referring to it maybe in a little bit different aspect or different understanding. And so we see that, and we see some of these words even in the passage that we're going to look at this morning. Now, Psalm 119 is the chapter is divided into 22 sections, with each section containing 8 verses. Each section has a letter of the Hebrew alphabet, which has a deeper meaning. Each letter in the Hebrew alphabet also has a numeric value. This numeric value is the number 90. 90. You say, what does that mean? I don't know. I'm not a Hebrew scholar, and I don't know how all that fits in, but I think it's just interesting to know that Hebrew is a language that is very different than any other language. In the English language, we don't have meanings and numeric values for the letters. It's just a letter, which put together forms a word, but in Hebrew, it's different. And so suffice it to say, and by the way, it's good to study those languages and know those things, but it does not mean that we cannot understand God's word as he gave it.
Amen?
Amen? So don't think only certain people who know Hebrew can understand the Bible. God didn't make it. God put the butter on the bottom shelf where everybody could get it.
Amen?
Amen? And God wants you and I to know his word and to love his word. And but he made the Hebrew language especially interesting in how it works, which ignited the hearts of the children of Israel to serve God. All right, let's go on now. Okay, we already mentioned the word peh means an open mouth, referring to talking or speaking for the Lord. How many had a chance recently to speak about the Lord to somebody? How many of you had a chance recently? Anybody had a chance? Praise the Lord. And this is what the passage is describing. And so each verse has a meaning that is meant to be spoken. So let's look, first of all, verses 129 and 130. Notice, first of all, the word is wonderful. Now, the word wonderful is really the word fascinating. Fascinating. It's a fascinating book. The word of God is this book that it's interesting, and it there's so much to it. There's so much in the word of God that it should just fascinate us. And now, I mentioned before that it was probably David who wrote this psalm. We don't know, but probably was. And there's a verse in here that especially gives that indication. But David, if you read a lot about King David, you realize how he was just fascinated with God. You read of that. And God just had this fascination to him. Now, it's not like this weird fascination stuff today, okay? Because there's a lot of weird people, a lot of weird stuff today. A lot of this world is just weird. Amen? And it is. But he's talking about how God grips his heart and grips his mind, that he's in awe. He's fascinated by God, and he wants to be with God. He wants to know more about God. By the way, we are blessed to know more about God today than David was at his time, because we have more of the word than David did. And so imagine he had not seen Jesus or known anything of the works of Christ in the New Testament. He did know some of Jesus. He knew that there was a triune God even back in the Old Testament, but he did not know all of the works of Jesus. But suffice it to say, he was fascinated. He was just amazed at God. You know, I think as we approach the word and we read it, we should be fascinated too. There should be something about it that puts this hunger in us, this desire to want to know more and want to dig a little deeper and compare this scripture with that scripture and know what certain words mean in scripture. There ought to be a hunger in us to just understand this fascination with scripture, because truly our God is awesome. He's fascinating. And the world uses that phrase and that term in a kind of a disrespectful context. But I'll tell you what, it ought to put us in awe when we're reading our Bibles, when we're comparing scripture with scripture, when it's preached, when it's taught. There ought to be some awe to it in here. And so this is what David's saying. He's saying, thy testimonies are wonderful, open. And again, he wants to open his mouth and speak about it. Boy, if something's good to you, you're going to want to speak about it, right? I mean, hey, if you know, man, if life is good, you want to tell somebody about it. And so it should be that way about the Lord. It should be that way everywhere we go, that we want to tell somebody. We want to talk about our Lord. Amen. So he's wonderful. Now notice also, he gives light, verse 130. The Lord gives light. The entrance of thy word giveth light. You know, sometimes life can find us in some dark places. What do you do when you find yourself in those places? You go to the word. You get in the word because it brings light. It pulls you out of that darkness that people are in. I believe that there's a lot of people that are depressed and oppressed today who don't have the word in their life. Amen. I believe a lot of depression could be cured by people just getting in the word. Amen. And I'm not minimizing it. I'm just simply saying, hey, this book gives light. It gives light. You know, once I was blind, but now I see. The light of the world is Jesus. When you get Christ, you get some light into your life. And, you know, those who reject the Lord have found comfort in darkness. Yes. But it's really not comfort. They've just kind of become used to that miserable state of darkness. And they can't think of anything better. You know, the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. But I tell you what, and you know, as life goes on, the lost man seems to get harder and harder. It gets harder and harder until he's hopeless. There's no hope in God. That's a sad place to be. And by the way, that's why I believe in investing time and effort into children. Because while they're young and impressionable, Christ can save them, come into their life. They can have a whole life to serve God. And that's the blessing. That's the blessing of being saved. I was saved when I was 13. And really, I wish I got saved younger. But, and I know folks that got saved older, and I still believe in deathbed conversions. I still believe you can get saved on your deathbed. And I'll never forget, years ago when I was pastoring in Oregon, they called me to a bedside of a man. They said, he doesn't have long to live. And would you go talk to the man? And I went up to the room. The man was incoherent, and I grabbed his hand, and I said, if you can hear what I'm saying, squeeze my hand. And I held his hand, and I gave him the gospel and talked to the man about getting saved as his last hope. It wasn't an hour later that man passed away. When I held his hand and asked him to respond, I never got any kind of response from the man. I don't know if he was saved. I don't know. They said sometimes they can hear you and sometimes they can't. But it was worth a try. It was worth a try because the man entered into heaven that day. And so I'm simply saying, but wouldn't it be great if that man could have had the light when he was a child? Wouldn't that have been great? He could have been saved all his life and had Christ. Well, so the word gives light. Now, notice also, it giveth understanding to the simple. It giveth understanding to the simple. The simple in the book of Proverbs are described as ones that can go either direction in life. They haven't really chosen a direction in life. They could slip into wrong just as easily as they could follow right. They really don't have an understanding that guides them in how they should live in life. And they're simple, and that's the Bible word for them. Well, what the Bible does for that person is it gives them an understanding. They have to understand that they've got to follow their life in the Word of God for it to be blessed. You know, a lot of times a person will follow their own path in life. You know that prodigal son, he wanted his father's money and he ran off and wasted his substance, the Bible says, with riotous living. He lived like that, but you know, he wasn't at peace. He didn't have an understanding. Well, then when he had spent all and wasted his life, and he was, you know, eating the pig's food from the pig trough, an understanding came to him, didn't it? He said, you know what? I just need to go back to my father's house. He has bread enough. I'll just make myself a servant of my father. And, you know, he chose the wrong way, but one day he came to an understanding. And, you know, that's what we ought to pray. We have lost family members and lost loved ones and lost neighbors that just do not understand. You know, we ought to pray. We ought to pray that God would give them, that we could speak the word to them that they could understand. Amen? Pray for understanding. Because, you know, so many people in this world trusting in so many things other than Christ. They've not put their faith in Christ, and they've not, their sin is still in their life, and God wants to cleanse it and make them new, but they don't understand it. And God's word is a book that gives us understanding. Well, that's why we need the Bible, amen? That's why we need to read it and be under the preaching of it. That's why we need to just, it needs to encompass our life, because this is the book of understanding, amen? So, it gives understanding to the simple. Well, number two now, notice verse 131. The word is spoken, and he longs for it. I opened my mouth and panted. It means that he's hungry for it. There's a thirst there for it. He said, for I longed for thy commandments. He said, I'm hungry for them. I want God's word. Boy, we need that kind of longing for the commandments. And I think he longs for the commandments because in verse number 129, he's saying, it's fascinating. It's wonderful to me. You know, the word of God ought to be wonderful to us. It ought to have this fascination to us that's there. You ever been digging in the Bible or reading a passage of Scripture and you didn't know what it meant, but you took time. You took some time to study it or to dig in it. And you learned what that verse or that passage was saying and what it meant. And it's like the lights just came on. And it's fascinating. You know, as a preacher, I find it fascinating that I can preach one sermon. I can preach from the Word, one sermon, and somebody will get saved. Somebody will get right. Somebody will, it'll speak to their heart in a million different ways from one message. And that to me is part of the fascination of Scripture, is how God does so many things with His Word. So we truly need it. It's spoken. Again, it speaks. You know, God wants us to actually open our mouth more about the Lord. How many have ever gone in and bought something in a store and a lady or a cashier says, well, have a blessed day. Have you ever said that, or anybody ever said that? That's a good way to share your testimony. And I like it when the cashier says it, because that's their way of speaking for the Lord in a business that may not let them speak for the Lord. Sometimes, you know, businesses are real strict that people work for, and you can't share your faith. You can't tell people about Christ because they'll fire you. You know, they think that's offensive to some people. I don't think it's offensive. I think it gives light to this world. Well, that's our world we live in today. So the word is spoken. All right, now number three, the word looks upon us. The word looks upon us, and I can't read the rest. Can you read it? You can't read it either. Okay, we'll both be in the dark. Now, verse 132. Look upon me and be merciful. The word looks upon us and shows mercy to us. You know, we fail the Lord every day in small ways, in big ways sometimes. We fail the Lord. And what we do is we run to the Lord, not away from the Lord when we fail it. Amen? And we run to God, and God looks upon us. And this is what the psalm writer is saying. And I think this is what David, I think David had an incident in his life when he said, Lord, I need your mercy. Look upon me. Look upon me. I need your mercy. And so he's saying, Lord, if you'll look upon me and show me your mercy, I think that's what he's saying. And this is what God does for us Christians, is shows us mercy. All right, number four, verse 133. The word orders our steps. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. The word is what's supposed to dictate where we go. What do we do? I think Christian, everything in his life, there ought to be something in us that says, no, I don't want my steps going in that direction. I don't want my steps to be in that pathway. I want my steps to be in God's way. Amen. Lord, keep me away from those things. Sin's dominion. You know, sin has a controlling power. He's talking about sin's dominion. If a person's in sin, it can really enslave them. It can really be a controlling thing in their life. But the Lord helps us out of those sins. The Lord gives us, his people, the ability to break the chains and the dominion of sin. Thank God he does. Amen? And it's the Word. The Word. The Word of God is whatever you need in your life, just get in the Word. Amen? You say, I'm sad. Get in the Word. You say, I get lonely. Get in the Word. You say, I'm frustrated. Get in the Word. You don't know what to do in life. Just get in the Word. The Word is the key to all directions in life. And the word is this wonderful thing that I can't get rid of the fact that it, you know, when you teach it and preach it, it has a wonderful effect on the lives of people. Amen? Just a wonderful thing. You know, it's not the preacher really that has the effect on the people. It's the power of the Word. That book speaks. And God speaks through his Word. And it just has a voice. Thank God for it. But the Word of God is ordering our steps. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. All right, now let's go to verse 134. Notice, deliver me from the oppression of man, so will I keep thy precepts. This is another verse that I think David, reason I think that David wrote this passage, because David talks again and again about the oppression of man that he faced. He faced the oppression against Saul when Saul was chasing him and threw that javelin at him. Saul even showed mercy, or David even showed mercy to Saul at the cave of Adullam. He cut off part of his robe, but did not kill him. And Saul, for a short time, was merciful to him, but then he went back to his anger and his hatred and oppression of David. Even when David became king, he had times where the Philistines would oppress him. And all nations of the earth would oppress him. He knew what the oppression of man was. But he knew where to go. He knew where to go when he was oppressed. He said, so I will keep thy precepts. Well, that's a great principle. I'm sorry, my throat is dry today. I must need some turkey or something here pretty quick. Amen. All right. So now verse 135. Verse 134. No, I'm sorry. 135. My bad. All right. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant and teach me thy statutes. This is an indication that God's light and his glory shines upon the servants of God. And I believe the more a Christian walks and talks with God in his word and talks about God, because that's the theme of these verses, and talks about God, the more the Lord's face shines upon him. It is a picture of his blessings. It's a picture that God has a care and a special blessing to Christians who walk in the word and speak of God's word. I knew a preacher, Dr. Dennis Brown, and he had a method of talking to people about the Lord. And he'd be sitting next to somebody, or he'd be talking next to somebody, and he'd look at him and say, "Hey, I want to ask you, do you believe in doggy heaven? You believe dogs go to heaven?" And they'd say, you know, it'd catch them off guard. "Well, yeah," he said, I believe dogs go to heaven. I don't believe cats go to heaven, but I believe dogs go to heaven.
Amen.
Amen. Cats go somewhere else. We won't talk about that. Amen. But you cat lovers don't like that out there. I know. Okay. But anyhow, but he said, "Dogs go to heaven." "Yeah, dogs go to heaven." "Yeah, I think dogs will go to heaven." "Well," he said, "if dogs go to heaven, then surely you must believe in a heaven where people go. Do you know if you died today, you're going to that heaven?" And that's how I talk to people about the Lord. But, you know, the point is that we open our mouth and speak the Lord, speak his word. And I find myself sometimes kicking myself because I say, "You know what? I was just in that store and I didn't say anything to that person about the Lord. And I should have." And I find myself kicking myself. And so I wake up and say, "Okay, how you doing?" Talk to somebody. And you know, it encourages me to open up and talk to somebody about the Lord. Amen. Now, so it delivers us from man's oppression, causes his face to shine. And it's important that the word of God is taught. We need the teaching of the word of God. Notice he says, "Teach me thy statutes." Teach it to me. Teach me the word. I want to know it. You know, a teacher can only teach as the student will absorb what's being taught. Amen. And I've had kids grow. When my kids were growing up, my boys, I think all three of them hated math. They hated math. I mean, hated math. They got it from their father. Amen. And but you know, math is that kind of thing where if you miss the first lesson, you're in trouble because it builds the second, third, and fourth on the previous lesson. You know. And if you weren't paying attention to lesson one, you might miss lesson two, three, and four. I think that was probably the error somewhere along the line with them. But, you know, we need to just have a time to teach the word. I think we need to preach the word, but we also need to teach it. Yeah. Explain it. Teach it. Fill the mind with the word. Because the mind, everything we do in life goes through our mind. Do you know that? Everything we do in life goes through our mind. And if we can get the word in our mind, if we can have it taught and learned, then the word of God will be what we need in all parts of our life. Well, verse 136 is where we'll close. We see the word here burdens us for those who reject it. Rivers of water run down mine eyes because they keep not thy law. Now, this is another verse that gives me an understanding that it was probably David that wrote it. And so he says here, rivers of water run down mine eyes. He's saying, I'm burdened for those who reject the word. They don't keep your law. They don't keep God's law. And man, I tell you, it should speak to our heart when we see people who just hate God. We live in that kind of society today. We live in a kind of world where there are people who just, they hate God. They're haters of God. And, you know, it shouldn't cause us to hate them. Notice what he said. He said, rivers, it turns to a burden. It turns to a burden. He's burdened for those who don't keep the law. You know, there should be a burden in our heart for people who are lost. There should be a burden in our heart. You know, lost people are just, there are people out there that just don't know the right way to go. They just don't understand. Or they've been influenced by the world or some kind of thing, and they're following that way. And, you know, they're not at peace. And that's frustrating when you think you're following the right way, but you're not. And there's this false thing that comes into your mind that you're doing the right thing, but yet God isn't pleased. So, you know, I think what he's saying here is that there should be a grief in our heart for those who not only reject it, but also those who just don't understand the gospel. There should be a burden for them. I think there's people, I've met people who you give the gospel to, and it's like the lights just, they don't come on. And you say, what do you do about that? You know, you want to see them saved. You want to see them know the Lord, but you can't force anybody because, you know, salvation's of the heart. You got to teach them, explain to them what to do, but it's the Spirit of God that works in them that brings them to a place of repentance and faith in Christ. And if they don't have that, I mean, it's hard to. You can lead the horse to water. But, you know, so what do you do? Well, I think the answer is found in that verse. We have a burden for them. We pray for them. We shed tears for them. We go to God for them. We intercede. You know, prayer is intercession. And intercession is we intercede for that person. That person's maybe not going to God, but others can intercede to God for him. And I think that's what God's people need, and that's what God's people ought to do. And he gives us this understanding here. Rivers of water run down mine eye. Now, we see this in Jesus. Go over to Matthew chapter number 23. Matthew chapter 23. And Jesus showed this about Jerusalem. He had a burden. Matthew chapter 23, look at verse 37. Notice Jesus says, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how oft would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate, for I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth till I say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." He had this burden. And also in the book of Mark, he had a burden for hard-hearted religious leaders, the Pharisees, the Sadducees. He grieved over them. He had a burden for them. And so we ought to have that kind of heart. We ought to have a burden. So people say, "I don't want to live with any burdens. I don't want to have any burdens." Let me tell you something. We need to have a burden for the lost. We need to have a burden for them. And we need to speak about Christ to them. this passage is teaching us about speaking and of what we should do about the Lord. Let's be careful to speak the word wherever we go, wherever we're at. Speak the word, that the word can be used in people's lives. All right, we'll stop there today. And we'll pick up, Lord willing, and finish up this chapter next week. And so, praise the Lord. Let's